And I partly believe it.
Maybe more importantly, that this was one of the best camps, if not the best camp, that they have had since the beginning of the camps. Not in any way to suggest that the past ones were inferior, but they just keep getting better. And I suppose the ultimate will be the great camp in the sky. When we all are raptured, and we stand before the Lord, and we're not going to be singing some of the stuff that we sang in camp. I don't particularly like a lot of them, but Elmore apparently does, and I forgave him at least three times the other evening. In any event, I did ask Kirk Johnson if he would give us a kind of debriefing and update on what happened at the camp this week, especially for those of us that could not be there every day. Those that were there, of course, they certainly knew what was going on because word would spread very quickly that so-and-so got saved and so-and-so did this and so-and-so had the opportunity to tell so-and-so about Christ and about the Christian life and so on and so forth. I did see a lot of one-on-one going on, which is excellent in the area of evangelism. I saw some great counseling being done. We had a few of the campers who were, well, to put it mildly, rebellious, and some who were punkish. The earrings in every strange place you can find them, at least those that I could see. And I'm sure that they were elsewhere as well, but in any event, I don't know how that even ended up, but I've asked Kurt if he would give us a brief report. Kurt?
Well, actually, it's I that requested let us do a camp song. I figure some of the staff is going through withdrawals already, so we need to at least give you a little taste of camp. And we do some different songs, but we do it for a purpose, and that's because that's where the young people are at, and that's the music that they're going to listen to. And just like the song that we played on Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, we make sure that all the songs we sing are doctrinally correct. But the music isn't what we're used to listening to in church, of course. And as I thought about giving a report here, I thought one of the ways, I'm not really great at giving reports, but I thought one of the ways I can do it is start off with looking at our purpose of camp. Why do we even have camp? Is it worth all the energy that we expend for just 1 week of year? And to think about that, I think back over all the different camps we had, and yes, I believe that this was the best camp we had yet. And it's we never, each year we don't look at it and say, well, let's try to top the next year. Let's try to do better than we did the next year. We never do that. We just allow the Spirit to lead us, and it's only God that can top himself. So if the camps get better, we can give all the credit to God, not to ourselves, because it's not us doing it. But in Matthew 28:18, Jesus commanded the disciples, saying, and this is after he has already resurrected, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. We also read in Acts 1:8, just before he ascended into heaven, where Jesus said, be my witnesses, and this is through the power of the Holy Spirit, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. And these two verses give us a little bit of an idea of what our purpose is here at Westside, and by extension, what our purpose is through Arizona Youth Camp. When we have our pastor standing up here night after night, pouring out his heart to us, and we're taking down notes on what the Word of God has to say to us, we're not doing that just to sit here and say, oh, that was a nice message, Pastor. Or isn't it wonderful? Oh, wonderful how much God loves us. And then just go on our merry way. No, we're given that information so that we can use it, so that we can mature and go out and make disciples of all the nations. We know that faith acts. We know that when you have faith, you should be putting feet to your faith. By the way, it says, James tells us it's dead works. Well, Paul in Ephesians 4:12 tells us that gifts, like the gift of pastor-teacher,
are for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. And so when
Pastor Miller is standing up here teaching, he's teaching you so you'll be equipped, mature, and so that you'll serve, so you'll be Christ's witnesses, and you'll use your gifting, and so that the body of Christ will be built up. And so you're out making disciples of all the nation. Well, at youth camp, we try to do the same thing, only in a format that's quite different, a format that is different from anything else we do, and yet it's quite effective. It's quite effective what we do and the way we do it. And it's not just because we're up a mile high and it's in the thin air and they're going, ooh, this is fun. We want to equip the young people because we want them to serve, because we want to see disciples made of all the nations. Now, this year's theme was right along that line. It was proclaim his name. That we wanted to teach them about witnessing. And not only did we go through the week and give them a very clear presentation of the gospel, and they heard it in a number of different formats. They heard it one-on-one from their counselors when they went set up for cabin devotions to find out if each of them was going to heaven. And if they weren't, we found out they were unbelievers, and we worked on them all week long, which I'll tell you about in a little bit. But we taught them in our different classes. We taught them through the use of skits. And we would just, for instance, one of our first skit on our first full day was called Road to Heaven. And it was a cute skit where we had a whole bunch of people sitting up on stage, and this was a game show format. Sherry and I were the host and hostess, and she was Hannah Heavenly, I think she was, and I can't remember what my name was. But we had a series of questions they asked them, and we had our different panelists up there. One was a do-gooder type who had given up everything in the world in order to save the world and by her works work her way to heaven. It's kind of a Mother Teresa type. Not that there's anything wrong with Mother Teresa as long as she was a believer, but that wasn't the way she gets to heaven. And then we had someone who had many achievements in life. Well, we called him Phil Physique, and he was a football hero and a baseball hero and had all kinds of championships and plaques on the walls and a lot of great achievements, and really was someone who was sought after and a role model to the young people. And he thought because he was doing so well in the area of athletics that he could get to heaven. We had someone else who was just a great mom. She went to all the PTA meetings and did all the right things in her church and at home, and plus she was a great dresser and everybody loved her. And she thought because of that, she was going to, she's just right for heaven. I can't remember the other one that we had. Oh, yes, the man with the bucks. He thinks he can buy his way into anything. Wally Wealthy. And then we had our normal, what we called Normal Norman. And he was just someone who had believed in Christ at the age of 10 and didn't have any grand plans, didn't have any great achievements under his belt, wasn't trying to work his way to heaven. But he was going to heaven. And so through a series of questions with the campers, and again, it was just a half-hour format, but through a series of questions to the panelists, we were teaching the campers the gospel. And they were hearing the wrong answers from the panelists, and we'd go, we'd do a buzzer, a gong for them when they didn't get it right, and bells and whistles when a camper, who was Diana Gross, we were happy to have her. She had no training ahead of time. We didn't even give her a script, and she is up there giving the right answers to the gospel about why Christ died for her, etc. But anyway, that's just another format that we used to teach. And then, of course, we had Gary Horton there, who is our evangelist, and he's exhorting the children and young people, and goes off on his message for an hour along each night, and the kids just eat it up. But we take them out of every distraction. No TVs, no radios, no Walkmans, no Game Boys, no outside distractions, no telephone calls, no pages, nothing. They just sit there and they go through a week in an encapsulated environment. And you say, well, that isn't realistic. Well, it's true. It's not realistic to what we're living in the real world, but it is a great teaching environment. It's a great teaching environment because we have an opportunity to get through to them without outside distractions interfering. Now, what they choose to do with it when they come home, we pray for them. We pray that, in fact, they will use what they've learned. And this week, what they learned about was not only the gospel, but how to present it. And so often we're afraid to present the gospel. One of the things that we did for the kids is we gave them some 3x5 cards with little symbols on one side and the actual scriptural verses or the questions they need to ask on the other side, to give them an opportunity to, you know, just a little help, a little visual aid to walk them through the gospel. The two diagnostic questions that we say we ask them, the first one is, are you certain you're going to heaven? And the second question is, gives us an idea of what is their basis for salvation. And the question is simply, if you were to die today and stand before God, and he said, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say to him? And that's a good question. Some people, if you present them the gospel, say, oh yeah, I believe that. But are they truly trusting Christ as their personal savior? You don't know for sure. But when you ask them this question, you're not giving them the answer ahead of time. They have to think of what they would say to God. And a lot of them will say, well, I was good, or I was baptized as a child, or I go to church. In fact, I had that happen. My niece, I was taking her home from babysitting one day, and on the way home, I asked her the question, you know, if you were to die today, you know, what would you say to God for letting you in heaven? Well, I go to my youth group, and I've been trying to get my parents to go to church. That was her answer. Well, she was trusting in works. She was not trusting in Christ. So we taught the young people how to enter into the gospel, how to get the gospel message started by asking questions. And then we also taught them how to close it. Now, the simple gospel is just a couple of cards. The fact that it's a free gift. The fact that there's no way we can get to heaven because we are unrighteous and God's absolute righteous, and then the message of the cross. So the actual message is very simple, but we also taught them the beginning and the end, which was helpful to them. But each year we have a theme, and this year's theme was proclaiming his name. So we go through this, and by the end of the week, we did a survey form, and we talked to the kids. We saw changes in kids that was just amazing. Some of the things that were going on is and it's not us, it's simply our staff being willing to be open to the Holy Spirit and let them guide them through this process with these young people. We saw kids who came to Christ in the beginning of the week, and by the end of the week, these troublemakers, and they were, we had a couple of 12 and 13-year-old troublemakers who came to Christ, that later on by the end of the week were the leaders in their cabin telling them, hey guys, you know, we had promised the counselor to be good and let's calm down and go to sleep and that sort of thing. Some huge changes here from, you know, disrupting the nightly devotions to helping them calm down and it was amazing. We had others who were a little bit rebellious, but they responded to our tough love in some cases. One of the kids happened to be the son of our song leader, Brian Elmore. And he was trouble for our counselors. And Ryan knows because he's in his cabin. But the counselors were a little frustrated by his lack of respect for authority. And yet we didn't, you know, we wouldn't want to grab Papa up at the music hall and bring him down here and say, you know, deal with your son, because we wouldn't do that with any other child there. Unless it got really bad, we wouldn't call home and say, you know, talk to your son or your daughter. So we dealt with it, and we went through the process, and on Friday we had to put him one-on-one with the head counselor, who was David McGuire, and then by the end of the night, David said he was doing great. We let him go, and I saw him out there in our nightly games, and I thought he did a very good job of strong leadership without being a bully and without being a troublemaker. And I don't know how he did on Saturday. Did he do better? So, it's just, you know, he responded to that, and we had a number of cases like that. We had some kids that we thought were on dope, and although they were a little frustrating to our counselors, we exhibited some tough love for them, and we put them one-on-one and made sure they didn't have opportunities to go off and do their things. We didn't necessarily want to go through their luggage without some probable cause other than our mere suspicions, and so we're very careful about that, but we saw some response there. We saw a little bit of change simply because we were willing to listen to them, because we were willing to take the time one-on-one, first to make sure they're saved, and second to talk to them about Christ's love and let them see Christ's love in us. We had 82 people, 82 kids there. We had about 43 staff, I think 43 staff, is that about right? Something like that. And they had a whole bunch of variety of roles. You say that, well, that's 2 to 1. You know, two kids for every one staff. And yet we had some staff that had
seldom had any contact with the kids, but were performing vital, vital functions. The kids were in ages ranging 7th grade through graduating seniors from high school, and that's the age group we always have every year at camp. They had come from, we had two campers from as far as Australia. We had a bunch of them come from Iowa, a bunch come from Oklahoma, and then all parts of Arizona. And to fill up 82 slots, we only had 2 beds left over that went unfilled, almost to the brim. We're thinking next year, what can we do? Well, we may have to open up some additional cabins that we've never used in the past. But we'll, you know, if we get more young people, we're willing to handle them. But God had a specific number of campers there. We had a specific number of staff that could handle just 84 campers, and we got 82. So it worked out great. We had 4 youngsters who did not believe they were saved, but by the end of the week, all 4 were believers. So we ought to thank God in heaven that these young people were added to our number. And you ask, how much is a soul worth? Is it worth all the concentrated effort that we put into for that 1 week, the sacrifices that staff made, and the time that we spent? How much is a soul worth? Was it worth it with 4 souls? If nothing else, even if they don't walk away from camp and use any of the material that we gave them, even if none of the young people go out and witness to their friends or their relatives or their classmates, was it worth it? Yes. If nothing else, for those 4 souls. And that's happened every year. This is my 4th year as a director. Every year I've been a director, every person we found out has been an unbeliever during camp has ended up being a believer by the end of camp. That's a great track record. And it's not us. It's just us allowing God to use us. Vessels. And we talked about that a lot during the week, that we are just mere vessels. You know, God's the one that gives them the cold drink of water. We're simply the cup, the earthenware pot that we allow to be used. And if they're positive, they're going to hear the gospel in some other way. But God allowed us the joy to share in that. And so every person who participated in any way, big or small, in youth camp, participated in the salvation of those young people. Even donating 2 hammers to youth camp is a way of participating in youth camp and sharing in the joy of the salvation of those 4 young people. But I believe it's more than that. I believe it's more than just those 4 young people coming to camp. We had kids that answered, we did an evaluation the last day of camp, and what they put under the spiritual section and the concern they showed about making sure they had these cards and being able to use them and the burden that a lot of them felt for Christ and for sharing the gospel with their friends, those that were unsaved, is just amazing. I saw some changes in some of our young people that we've had here in high school and junior high that I had never seen before. They truly exhibited a burden for the lost. So maybe they'll go out and witness. And even if only 5 of them do it, but they do it because we show them how to witness. Not just tell them the gospel and say, okay, you got to go give that to people. But show them how to witness. And told them about some of the objections and how to deal with the objections that the young people had. I believe that they're going to go out and we're going to see some changes this year. We may see some people next year at camp who come because our young people went out and witnessed. We had some amazing things happen at camp as well. Isaiah 65:24 says, "It will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer." See, John Hens thought he was making up that verse, but it's actually a real verse in the Bible. "Before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear." God knows exactly what our needs are, and he knows that when we're praying, and he has the answers flowing down the grace pipeline, and as soon as we pray, bam, they're right there. And I told you, I think, when I was teaching just before camp, I told you about one of the instances that happened. We had a sound man that had called us from Tulsa, Oklahoma, saying, "I want to come to camp this year, and I want to come to Arizona Youth Camp." And then an hour later, our sound man that we had already scheduled, Steve Solwyn, canceled. So before we even called, God answered an hour before. We had another incident before camp where Jeff Baydart, our Australian, the guy who stood up here last Sunday night and read the Australian version of David and Goliath, and I won't even try to say it their way because all week long I tried to say, "Good day, mate," and they kept correcting me because I wasn't doing a good job of it, but that's okay. But anyway, he was praying. He didn't know what he was going to do. Gene was coming to camp. He had accompanied Gene all around the United States 3 weeks up to that point. And he was in his room praying to God, saying, "God, I want something worthwhile to do the week that Gene is at camp." Well, while he was in there praying, I called up Gene and said, "Gene, you know, we need another counselor. Is there any way that Jeff might be able to do it?" And so Gene walks in on him while he's praying and says, "Hey, Jeff, want to come to camp this week?" Before we call, God answered. And we saw a lot of things happen like that at camp. It really is too numerous to go into, but a lot of amazing answers to prayer and a lot of miracles. We had a friend of Sherry's and I's come to camp Friday night who was an unbeliever. And as far as I know, he's still an unbeliever. But he heard the clear gospel presentation the day before from Sherry, and then, of course, in a different format, through the skit on Friday night, as well as Gene's teaching on Friday night. And then, of course, after that, Les and Judy had a chance to talk to him. And he's heard the message. We ask that you pray for him. His name is Bruce. And we would dearly love to see him a member of the family. He's hurting right now. He's lonely. But he doesn't... he's a strong-headed man, and we don't want to drive him off. By all of us maybe calling him up on the telephone, "Hey, you got to accept Christ. You got to believe the message." But we certainly want to pray for him because God will take what he has now heard, the clear gospel presentation, and work on his soul with it. Doesn't mean that he will believe it. He may turn around and reject it, but he has the opportunity. And my prayer is that he will not sleep and that God will just... Yeah, what are those words again? You know, Christ alone. So, but it was a miracle that he came to camp. And we don't ordinarily invite people to camp. And of course, our Friday nights are open to anybody who wants to show up. And he decided to come. Les invited him, and he came along. And you know, his normal bedtime was what, 8 or 8:15 or something like that. And yet our program didn't start until 8 o'clock. And so that surprised me as well. He took the time to do that. But he came out there, and to me, that's a miracle, because now he's without excuse, and so we keep praying about him. But we had a number of things like that, changes in kids and different things that happened, provisions that were made, and just amazing, one series after another. One of the things that concerned us and the reason we chose this year's theme, did you know that only 5% of all believers ever verbally give the gospel of Christ to other people? So if we have 100 people sitting in here tonight, only 5 of you will regularly or even once in a while give the gospel to your friends. The rest of us will tend to sit back and wait for others to do it. And yet, in 2 Corinthians, we're told that all of us are ambassadors of reconciliation. We all have a personal responsibility to evangelize, whether we are an evangelist or not. And it's not us doing it. Again, we're just a mere vessel that holds the cup of water that satisfies the thirst of the unbeliever. And I know that during camp, a lot of the kids were convicted to go out and witness to their friends. And I suspect that some of the staff were as well. I was convicted. I know that there have been opportunities I've passed up, either because of fear, being afraid to give the gospel or afraid that I'm not going to give it right, or because of distraction. I'm so busy. I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing this. And so I don't give the gospel. What I'd like you to do as a congregation is to pray for these young people and pray for us as well, that we don't pass up these opportunities to give the gospel, that we go out and give it. Camp requires teamwork. And camp effort, and all of what went on this week, was a huge, huge team effort. I can't begin to tell you how thankful I am to each and every staff member for what you guys went through and what the time you put in. You know, most of the staff only average about 5 hours sleep a night, and some of them less. Looking at Dave Engel, because he only averaged 4 hours sleep a night the 2 weeks before camp as well. Many had to take time off from work. Many had to take vacation time that they, maybe the only vacation time they had, but they chose to spend that week at camp. They were constantly on the move. They were working, doing this, doing that, going from this place to that place. They were encouraging. They were loving. They were caring. They were letting the Holy Spirit guide them. And they were just a great, great big team, all working together towards the common goal of equipping these young people. And I'm really proud of them. What I'd like to do is just to take a few moments to recognize the camp staff. And as I call out the group that you're in, if you would just stand, and so that we can recognize the effort that you put in. I'd like to first to call out the counselors, ask all the counselors to stand up. Let's give them a big round of applause. We asked some people to be counselors who had never been counselors before. They did a great job, both here and Jeff Badart from Australia and Randy Mantrick from Tulsa and some other people that came in. We had a 22-year-old graduate from West Point who was a counselor, his first ever time in a situation. Well, actually not the first ever. I guess he had counseled before at Iowa camp. First ever at our camp. But he wasn't even planning on coming to camp. He was planning on going to Australia. And yet, it all worked out, and he came to camp, and what a great attitude. Oh, man, I love that young man. Let's have our activity team leaders. Everyone who's an activity team leader, and do we have the organizer of the activity team leaders here? And Ryan, stand up. Ryan helped this year in organizing the activity teams as well. Let's give them a round of applause. Believe me, the sore muscles that you have and the tiredness from going out and doing those physical activities is well worth it, because those are the opportunities you're working side by side those young people and a chance to do with them. Kitchen staff, long hours, sticky fingers, burnt fingers, everything else kind of fingers. Maybe lost fingers as you're chopping things. But lots of opportunities to experience Christ. Let's have all the kitchen staff stand up, and let's give them a round of applause. And now I'd like everyone else who was at camp to stand up, because they're all the support people in different ways, the leadership roles, the different coordinators we had, a lot of great effort, our nurse, and man, just in different areas. Everybody else who was at camp, stand up. Let's give you a big round of applause. Some of the staff is probably at home sleeping right now. When Sherry and I came back from Prescott, even though it's only 90 miles, we had to stop the car 3 times and switch drivers. We were so tired. So, but we had more help than just the 43 people that were at camp. We had people praying for us. They were on their faces before God while we were up there at camp, praying for us and laying down the artillery fire for the spiritual battle that we had going on. We're so thankful for those prayers that went up on our behalf. We had people that provided food. Remember the needs board and all the people that couldn't make it to camp but were willing to give a little bit to making it cheaper for the campers. We had people that helped us load things on the Sunday before and unload things the Saturday after. We had people that provided housing for the troops and for the recruits. We had people that provided transportation. We had people that helped us get equipment. A person that's going to help us take equipment back Monday morning. Tomorrow morning we have people help sending out, making copies and sending out mailings. We had an endless variety of other tasks. And I want to give everyone at Westside a great big round of applause, because it's all your ministry and all of you helped out in one way or another. So thank you. Well, one final thing, if I can. This is not a good sign when I spend a half hour giving a report, is it? Because camp is a ministry of Westside, we would like to celebrate this year as a church, and we'd like all church people and their kids to come to a party. And we're not sure of the date. We have two possible dates. So what I'd actually like to do is take a vote by hand raising. We want to do it quickly. And what we've liked to do either on Monday evening, July 6th, which is just a week from tomorrow, or Saturday evening on July 11th, which is 2 weeks from yesterday or a week from this coming Saturday. It's the weekend after July 4th weekend. And I just by a show of hands, raise your hands if you think Monday, July 6th would be best, let's just have a raise of hands for that. Okay, and then all who would prefer Saturday, nice try, Brandon, you can't put two hands up. Saturday, July 11th. Absolutely. Well, no, actually, if you have a preference on one or the other, I'd really like to see a preference. But if you can go to both, that's great. You actually don't need to vote then. I know, for instance, the Wicks are going to be out of town the weekend of July 11th. And we had other people take, you're going to be out of town also? The Grosses? I know you're going to be out of town the following week because Ron and Colleen will be in Belarus. So it looks like Monday, July 6th had the most votes, even with people were voting twice. And that didn't even include Brandon's voting three times. All right. We're going to put a sign-up sheet this week. And because we're going to need some food again for that. But we're going to put it in for specific categories just to bring a small dish to help out. Swimming, and we'll probably have it at our clubhouse if we can get it. If it's not available, the Acres have offered their house. But I don't know if all of Westside and their kids, if there's enough room there. So, or at the Miller's house. So, but we'll find a place for it. We'll let you know. And thank you again. And thank you. Let's. Can we take a moment just to pray and thank the Lord for camp and pray for these four young people who made the confession of faith this week, and for the young people who learned how to give the gospel, that they may have opportunities. Let's pray. Father God, we are truly thankful for the work you did at camp. We are so thankful that we were able to be vessels. I know that a lot of us went into camp so tired and it was just impossible for us to do it in our own power, and I think you probably made it that way. So Father, we're thankful that each of us had the opportunity just to rely on the Spirit and see the Spirit's great work at camp. We are thankful for these young people who came to the knowledge of Christ, and we pray for their lives as they go back to their various churches, that the churches will wrap their arms around them and show them the way of learning your word and learning about you so they can be effective Christians. Father, we pray for the young people who learned how to witness. We pray that you'll convict them with your Spirit to give them the strength to overcome the natural fear that we have and to overcome the distractions that might be presented, as well as give them the opportunities with their classmates and with their relatives and their friends, because we all know unbelievers. But just that those opportunities to witness will be bright and clear before their eyes, and they go, aha, it's time. Time to use what they learned at camp. And Father, because we know that when we send forth your word, it will not come back void. Thank you for this, and thank you for what we have this last week. And we pray for the continuing effects. And we pray this in our precious Savior's name. Amen.
I have 3 minutes to cover 75 verses, word by word. My wife and I were commenting this afternoon how proud we were of our two daughters that were there, that they didn't get into trouble this time. So, It was a much better camp that way. Well, we've heard the word. We've heard the report of what happened at camp. I told him to take as much time as he needed to take, and he did. It's all right. It was predetermined before the foundations of the world that we should be holy and without blame. Next time, we'll cover Ephesians 1 as we continue our study of the personal sense of destiny as a part of our utilization of the 10 problem-solving devices. He also prayed, and so you're dismissed.